Hallelujah. Go ahead and tell the person next to you, the Lord wants you to want Him. Go ahead and say that. The Lord wants you to want Him. The Lord wants you to want Him. And that's something. By the way, here's one way to say it. The Lord desires a relationship with you, and He wants you to desire a relationship with Him. The Lord loves you, and He wants you to love Him back. The Lord gave His all for you, and He invites you to give your all to Him. He wants you to seek Him in each situation. When people walk in the door, it is very important that they understand that Jesus Christ came from heaven, lived on the earth, sacrificed Himself for our sins, so that when He came from the grave, the power of everything that would hassle you has been broken under His authority. It's important to know that Jesus is not weak when it comes to your need and my need. And then He's risen up on high. He's at the right hand of the Father. And then He sent the Holy Spirit. And if you're around here very long, we really want you to be filled afresh and baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that you can receive the gifts that God's given in the Holy Spirit. This is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming again for a people who will be His. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. The Lord wants you to want Him. We have a verse here. It says, I love this verse from Psalm 42. King David said, as the deer, read it with me, as the deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is a picture of someone, which is David. And you know, the Lord really loved David. In fact, he called Jesus Christ the Son of David, because it was in David there was this passion for the Lord. And there was a sensitivity about putting the ark before the Lord and Him worshiping and writing songs of praise and living his life under the direction that of the Holy Spirit back then, even when he messed up. Most of the Psalms are just his worship released in song of the principles that we find in the Word of God all through the Pentateuch, is called the first five books of the Bible. So David, you see this spirit of passion. Here's another verse that belies that. It says, Psalm 63:3. Read it with me. Because Your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise You. And there's another one, Psalm 27:4. Again, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. So I'm bringing these up because these scriptures give our hearts a focus. Say, hey, I want to love the Lord back the way He pursued me. Paul was a beautiful example of this in the New Testament. We have a verse for him. Read this one with me. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. You see that same heart that was in David is in Paul. And just go ahead and elbow your own self and say, I want that same spirit and that same heart in myself. Jesus came, and he had just had this major miracle time of feeding 5,000 people with some loaves and fishes. And on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that he had been there, and he left on one boat. And they all took out after him. What happened is these people were going after another meal. They were going after Jesus to get something else out of him. And they found him on the other side of the sea, and they said, "Rabbi, where did you come from?" He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Jesus is saying, "I'll meet your needs, but I want a relationship." Here he's saying to these people, "You're not coming after me to know me. You're coming after me for what I can do for you. And I want you to come after me to know me. I want you to have that same spirit." And as we start at the beginning of this year, I'm saying these things to foster in us a deep relational connection with the Lord Himself. A deep relational connection that you would have. And most of us, I'm telling you, we're like these people. We're so full of all the problems in our life that when we see something, God does something good, we either get jealous that He did it for somebody else. Duh. Or, you know, "Why can He do that for me?" And we're so selfish and so self-centered and so into our own everything. And to have us actually step out of that and realize, there was a guy years ago, I'll just go ahead and tell you the joke. I've told it before. Anyone hear a joke? Where you going? You want to hear a joke? This tells a beautiful picture of the spirit of just lavishing praise on God. There was a guy. First of all, there was all these angels before the Lord, and they were all standing there before the Lord, and all of them had sour faces, and then God was listening, and on the planet, everybody was going like this, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme." That was it. So the whole globe is filled with, "I want, I want, I want, I want." That's the prayer life of the people. And then there's this one angel standing by the back door, and he's got a big grin on his face, and there's this one little voice that comes sweeping up through the... He says, "Lord, I don't want anything. I just want to know you better. You've been so good to me all my life. I just want to know you and walk with you and be yours." And you can feel the refreshing spirit of this man coming up into the heavens. And then God says to the angel, "What does he have need of?" You see the difference? God says, "If you want the relationship, I'll take care of everything else." And the angel begins to just speak off a list of things that he has need of. It's that kind of thing. Everybody say, "I want a relationship with the Lord that just puts him first." What happens? Jesus begins to declare himself in this passage as the bread of life. And he has a big crowd that's seeking him for what he can do for them. In essence, Jesus is a walking commissary. And a walking healthcare program. And instead of wanting to know the person, the unique love that he has, what he's come to do and to be, it's amazing. That's why when we sing that song about "I want to look beyond your hand and behold your face," the Lord says, "Hey, look, it's not about me doing stuff all the time. It's about us relating. We're going to be here forever, walking together." I feel like somehow I'm taking an ice pick and just chopping against some frozen tundra here. Look, many of us get in this moment or we get in this thing where God's supposed to take care of me and I did this and I did this. And you get this attitude and you're chilled over. You don't even know who he is. Don't even walk with him. It's just being religious. A religious person with expectations that God should perform for him when he asks. Instead of having a relationship with God. And Jesus came for the relationship. In fact, it's amazing. He gets into this passage and it's that part, you know, that when Jesus says, John chapter 6, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," it's this pretty cannibalistic sounding kind of stuff. Now listen, Jesus wasn't talking about eating his physical flesh and drinking his personal blood. That wouldn't last. If you were a cannibal, that would only feed so many people. I mean, that's hard to think about, but it's not going to go that far. And Jesus said, these words are spirit and they are life. In other words, I'm not talking about the physical realm. I'm talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about coming and supping with me, my very character, my very life, the food that I am. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. The relationship with Jesus is life-giving. It is life to us. The series we're in, we just started, is called Life-Giving Practices. And today we're going to emphasize the relationship with Jesus through His Word. Through His Word. Through His Word. A relationship with Jesus. Much of the relationship people have with God, if they have one, is asking for stuff. And not taking the time to have Him reveal who He is through who He says He is in the Bible. It's amazing, isn't it? How many of you take some time to crack open the Word of God, having a love for it, whether it's electronic device or one of these regular ones? When you take time to, He will whisper into your hearts and speak things to you that you have need of. It's an amazing thing. It doesn't even matter if you have a Bible study and you're on a certain theme. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak into all the needs in that room. It's amazing. It's a life-giving, life-shaping, Spirit-filled word that God speaks. It doesn't matter where you start. He's going to start speaking to your heart where you have need of. That's the wonderful thing. If you want to know Him, you can be reading in something that doesn't even relate to you, and He'll start speaking and breathing life out of that to you. Anyway, when Jesus started to sound kind of heavy here, and He said, the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. And there was a big group of people begin to leave because they realized we're not getting another free meal out of this guy. And now he's into this crazy talk. And so it says, many of the disciples turned back and no longer wanted to go with Him. And Jesus looks at His 12 disciples and He says, are you going to go too? And this spoke to me years and years ago. Years and years ago, 43 years ago. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words. Everybody see the words. You have the words. You have the words of eternal life. You have the words. You develop a relationship with Jesus, and He'll speak from the Word of God to your heart. I remember that time sitting on my deck a while back in the back before we had the newer deck. I was sitting there and this sparrow lands on the railing and looks at me for over a minute in the eyes. And I'm locking eyes with this sparrow. This sparrow's, and he's like this. He got his head cocked. He's just looking at me in the eyes. Looking at me in the eyes. And I'm sitting there in the sun. He's looking at me in the eyes. And I'm looking at him. And about a minute and a half goes by, and he flies off. I'm going, what was that about? The next day, in the other building, we were doing two services at that time. And the next day, after the worship of the second service, putting the guitar down, and the Lord says, that was me. Oh my God. The tears begin to rise up in my eyes. That is a playful peekaboo type relationship. That was me. Peekaboo. I was looking at you through the bird. That was me doing that. The Lord is precious. Jesus is risen from the dead, and He's hiding out, and He's walking down the road to Emmaus. He's about to play peekaboo with a couple of disciples who said, where have you been? He says, what's all the commotion about? Where have you been? Don't you know that Jesus Christ has died? He's standing right there, but they can't see. It's peekaboo time. He wants a relationship. He has a good time with us. And he opens up the scripture and it says, from the beginning, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There's an old saying, it says, in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed. In the New Testament, he is revealed. Did you know Jesus Christ quoted the Old Testament 150 times in the four Gospels? Paul quotes the Old Testament 53 times in his writings. They pull those scriptures out and they put it right in there. And the way they use them, and they basically, it's all God going, peekaboo, it was me the whole time. Peekaboo, here I am again. Peekaboo, here I am again. Hey, you know those lambs that were slain? That was Jesus. Hey, you know the one was killed over here and then they sent the other one out and it was for the shame offering and they got sent it out. Hey, that was Jesus. Peekaboo. God wants you to know they did it all for you. He draws you in to relationship with him. He draws it in through his word. How many of you need reviving? How many of you would like more wisdom? How many of you need some more joy? How many of you need to see? How many of you need cleansing? Well, here's Psalm 19, verse 7, on down. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. I still go back to that moment. It was just a few months ago, but I was sitting in that restaurant and the Lord whispers to me and he says, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. I still, it was like, wow, here's the Lord. He just talked to me, but he's going to talk to me in a minute. This is peekaboo time. So I finish eating and I set it aside, get my notebook out and I'm ready. Okay. And he says, I want your day before me to be wonderful for you. That changed my life. The Lord wants to speak. When you have a relationship with him, he speaks often through the word. I had a man send me a Christmas present, and as I was texting him back, he's another pastor from Nigeria. He's not in Nigeria, he's in New Jersey. But he was sent me a gift, and I was blown away by it. And as I was texting him back, the Lord whispered to me that he's been through fires of refinement. And I gave two scriptures about the crucible for gold, the furnace for fire, the Lord tests the heart. That was one. And then after you've suffered a while, the God of all glory will strengthen, settle, confirm, whatever, you know, establish you. I sent him those two scriptures, and I said, I'm not sure if I'm way off here or not. He sent back, says, oh my, a text, you know, it was life-changing. It's amazing how you can receive, if you have a relationship with the Lord, sometimes other people are under it, and they'll drop something in your heart of his word to speak to them. Is that right? That's what my hope and my real desire for this place is, that anybody that walks into this place receives an uplifting word from someone, from the scripture, or just to say, man, you look really good. That's an uplifting word, because you know you haven't looked so good lately. But there are things, if we're just open up, if you have the relationship with the Lord, if you open up to reading the word, if you open up to those things, and it's always this way, no matter what you've read, it starts to germinate on the inside of you. And as it germinates on the inside of you, it comes out later. And the Lord has that, he does it that way. You're percolating and it comes out later. And as it's in there, and then somebody has a need and it just flows up. But if you don't have any of it in you, you're kind of like the Holy Spirit says, the cupboards are bare in here. We need something in here so we can flow something out. That goes on and says, moreover by them, it says, all sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them is great reward. And love this part. It says, who can discern his errors? How many of you have done stuff you don't even know you're doing wrong? Am I the only one? I used to be so hard-headed, incredibly hard-headed. There was a season that God had to just go, I was at the church on the way working in the facilities department. It was like they had another, it was so funny because I was one of the guys that helped clean the toilets there for a while, doing up, fixing the rooms up. And then there was this other building that was purchased down the road. And when that was purchased, the guy that was at the desk quit. It was overwhelming. And they gave it, but the job offered it to two guys, and the other guy didn't want it. And so I said, and I didn't want it either. But then I went home, and the Lord said, no, that's for you. And I went back, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, no, but the Lord told me to do this. And so I was at this desk, and the Lord was just going to work on my hard head. Can you believe working at a church and having to get written up? Hey, he makes wise the simple. He softens the hard heads. I was having to be written up for being, I don't know what it was, but it was like, whatever. And I went to, I went home. What's that? I don't remember. Do you remember? Oh, Heather remembers. What was I written up for, honey? Ministering to people on the phone or so? Oh, doing stuff. Yeah, you know what, Chuck, the guy that was over that one time, he came to me and said, he said, Roger, look, most of the guys that come in here, this is the kind of jobs they're going to be doing, but you're called into the ministry. And I'm like, you must know something more than me. He says, no, you're called into the ministry, and this is a training ground for you. So, you know, people would come in, and my heart would go out to them, and people call, and I'd be ministering on the phone. It was a rough job anyway. It was one of these, how many people really, really super, super love a lot of details? It was one of those jobs. And it's like, I think I'd go in there and probably break out in hives just doing it. You know. Glaze over. But anyway, what happened is that night I was supposed to go the next day to go down to the other property and be written up as a warning. And walk down there. So I'm walking down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, he just breaks into me. He breaks inside and changes me. And by the time I show up down there, before I thought they were just against me, and it was them. And I didn't know it was me. Relationship with the Lord. The Lord says, look, I got some places for you to go and some things, but you're not in the condition that I can use right now. There's way too much of you. How many of you appreciate when the Lord starts to empty you out? Aren't you glad he dealt with me back then so I'm not like, it's your fault, you know. I'll be a crazy pastor man. They can crack into you because you learn the ways of the Lord by reading his word, watching him do it in other people in the Bible, all this kind of stuff. You know, oh, these are examples for you. And then you read this, and how many of you have a verse or something in the Bible the Lord takes it and shows you who you are, or some particular character in the Bible? And you begin to really relate to that person, and you read, and God begins to deal with you according to there's certain when you're in the book. This is amazing. The book will keep you from sin. When you're in the book, if you're not getting anything out of it, you're not communing with God anyway. Get in the book. Open up your heart. Sin will keep you from the book. It's one way or the other. The book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. And even if you're in sin, you're struggling with sin, come to the book. Say, God, I need some help. God says, I'm going to give you authority to break that right now. He just helps you out. He's not the bad guy. He's been so good to me. I don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve any of the kindnesses and the goodnesses of the Lord to change us the way he's done it. You know what I mean? Not a bit of it. I love this one. And this helps. Psalm 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, there are certain passages in the scripture you go, I don't want to read that one because something's active over here in a negative manner. And if I read this one, you know what? If you read this positive thing about dealing with this issue, then this negative thing will be going away, right? And by the way, do you know Jesus' favorite book that he quoted most of the time? Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy more than any other book. He started quoting out of the book of Deuteronomy when the devil showed up. He says, So the word says, be like newborn babies, always thirsting for the spiritual, pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it you may grow up and be saved. Listen to this. Everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the scriptures give us. He says, yes, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God endures forever. So then, he says, anyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. I love this scripture. The Lord showed me this scripture. I said, Lord, I want to flow in your gifts more often. I want to hear from you more. And the Lord gave me this verse. He says, the word of God is alive and active, or quick and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through, so where the soul and the spirit meet, where the joints and the marrow come together. He judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. The Lord says, if you put my word in your heart, then that will be active in you and active for others. Hello? He keeps every promise. How many of you have a life verse? I want to invite you to just, there. You don't have to have a life verse, but there may be a verse in the Bible that the Lord, years ago, Heather and I, God began to deal with us, and he gave me that one. Behold, you know, I'll send Elijah before the great and terrible day, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And so the last verse in the Old Testament, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord said, I don't know what, he gave it to me, but he says, I'm going to do a work. And there was a problem. I didn't have a good relationship with my own dad, and God began to work in me. And what it had to do with is being in people's lives to restore them out of the brokenness of their childhoods. See, God knew. So that was a life verse. It was a function. How many of you received a word directing that directs a season? You ask the Lord for something and he speaks to you, and it's a season that you begin to walk in, or a word revealing his will, a word that comforts and encourages. In fact, hand me the microphone here. Eden, come on up. I want to ask you a question. We were talking the other day about the whole concept. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have had the Lord do something of such a comfort and deep work in you that it's been rather therapeutic? It's restorative. It heals. The Bible says he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When did the Lord, first of all, open up the Psalm 23 to you?
I think it was, I just had graduated high school, so I was like 17 at the time.
Was it a big deal?
Yeah, it was. It was. I was kind of just praying at a youth group, and I just kind of told the Lord I wanted to know who I was to him and who he was to me. And so I just kind of opened the Bible, and I felt the Lord say Psalm 23. And it's a really popular psalm, but I hadn't read it, I don't think, before. And so I opened it up, and it goes into, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I lack nothing, and all of these things of the Lord is our comforter, he's our provider. And then the one that stuck out to me the most was Psalm 23:4. Which is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that was kind of the therapeutic work that the Lord had done in me, just reading this passage, and it ended up being my life verse. And often when I don't know what to pray, I often just pray Psalm 23, because it kind of goes over everything, and at the end it ends with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and that's truly like my prayer, so yeah.
Let's go ahead and praise the Lord here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Eden. Even psychologists will say today, just go ahead and take Psalm 23. Memorize it. There was a person in prison having trouble sleeping, and I told them on the phone, just take Psalm 23 and say it slowly and roll it over in your heart. And you started being able to sleep. Powerful, isn't it? The power of the Word of God. So the goal of this message is that you and I would develop a deeper, more abiding relationship with Jesus, and that you and I would hear him speak to us through his word. You have needs. The Lord has answers. There are certain passages that the Lord's just going to take and highlight to you. If you're familiar with the Word of God, He'll just draw your attention to those. Sometimes He'll take a verse, cause you to chew on it. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to seek it out. And He'll want you to chew on something for a while. How many of you had that happen? Where He intrigues you. The Lord is always dealing with us on a relational way. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. Praise God. Honey, you want to say something? Come on up here.
Sometimes we need a point of application, don't we? I mean, I know I do. And we really need to reaffirm a commitment, just like the fun video, "This time I mean it," right? How many of you inside your heart say, you know, if I really am honest, I've gotten away from spending intimate time with the Lord? Don't raise your hand, because I'll raise mine for you. Life just gets sometimes way too complicated and way too busy. I don't know about you, but I want to invite you as the pastoral staff come and those that are ministering, prepare to minister. Why don't you and I agree with someone today? I'm starting something, and this time I mean it. Pastor and I were reading over D.L. Moody's stuff, and what he said is the word is not informational, it's
transformational.
Some of us need to be transformed in certain areas, our finances, our relationships, things that we need. And the only way it's going to happen for you, loved one, is through the Word of God transforming either the way you think about it, the way you perceive it, because that Word that is in this document right here, it's not just pages, though it is written, it's alive. It's quick and it's powerful. It has an ability to divide between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It can discern what's true and what's not true. And there might be some of you who are listening to a lie. And the Lord says, let me make a commitment to me to be with me, not just to read the word, but be with me first. Recommitment to the first love. And then, this time I mean it, Lord. I'm going to really spend some time with you and let your word transform those areas of my life that I might not even, well, I think I'm fine. You know? Well, maybe there's people in your life that if you ask them that question, do you think I'm fine, they might go, I'm so glad you asked. So don't go to them. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, am I fine? Am I okay? And let the Holy Spirit speak to you.
It's amazing. If you want His help, He gives it. He's generous. He doesn't hold back wisdom. No, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I like watching you screw up. No, God doesn't do that. And here, I think one of the big deals is that people get in trouble when they get some distance away from intimacy with God in the Word of God. Suddenly, you just quit seeing what you need to be seeing. And this is that reaffirmation time. You say in your heart, Lord, it is my choice. Let's go ahead and stand together. Say, Lord, it's my choice to be close to you and to be in your Word, hearing your voice. I want to, they're moving that away, but let's just lift our heads, our faces to the Lord. I want to behold your face, Lord. I want to see you and encounter your glory. I want to know you in a deeper way. I just desire you, Lord. Just tell them stuff like that. Let's just go and pray. Lord, I want to go further with you. I want to develop into the kind of person that can hear your voice and minister to others in a deeper way. I want to grow with you. I want to be corrected. I want to know you. Help me, Jesus. Let's say this. Father God, it is my desire to be close to you. Forgive me for straying away. Open up your word to me. As I open the pages, I come to hear your voice. Speak to me. In Jesus' name. Amen.